Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up with Taryn Sarcone podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Sarcone, and I am so happy that you are here with me today. I have a message on my heart for you. If you are a woman who is unfulfilled, you're burnt out, you're stressed out, you're irritated, you're triggered, you're anxious, you're depressed, you're hopeless, you're wondering, what is my life about? What is my purpose? What is my calling? Why am I here? I want you to know you're not alone and you're also not crazy. So welcome to the show. You're going to love it. Okay. So today I want to talk about this idea of, I don't feel like it. And this is something I wanted to talk about for a while. I originally wrote down this note in my phone on September 11th. That I wanted to talk about this. And then I've been waiting for it to be the right time. I'm coming out of a season of isolation. And I say a season because I feel like it's lasted a season. The isolation I knew I was having because I felt, you know, I was avoiding people, avoiding phone calls, avoiding texts, avoiding replying back to people in my DMs or on my comments. Not wanting to go to church, dropping off my kids at school and hurry up and leaving right away so I don't get stuck talking to anybody, canceling plans, laying in my bed. All I want to do is just be alone and watch Netflix and procrastinate every single thing that I need to do and just be alone. Now, there's nothing wrong with being alone. Being alone can be very restorative, very great. It's good to slow down. If you're someone who's go, 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 you never stop to take a breath, then you probably do need some time to slow down and to be alone. If you are an extrovert, a lot of us extroverts recharge when we're alone. But a lot of people that are introverted recharge when they're alone too. So it's all about knowing yourself and knowing what's going to work for you and what season you're in. So I want to talk before I talk about the season of isolation that I was in. I want to talk about how I found out that I was there, because being aware of where you're currently at mentally is the number one thing that you need to do. You have to be aware of how you're feeling and what's going on. You have to pinpoint what's going on. And, you know, once you're aware of it, then you can control it. Then you can focus on it. Then you can pray about it. Then you can do the steps that you need. But it starts with awareness. My husband and I have learned this, more so me, the hard way, of being aware of my finances. And I can't just avoid my bank account and tuck my little bills that I get in the mail to the back of my notebook and just forget about them. You know, if I do that, I have no idea where my financial state is. And because I don't know, I just continue to live my life and spend money as normal. But when I am aware of what my bank account says, when I'm aware of charges that I'm receiving that aren't supposed to be there, when I'm aware of the amount of money I have, things are a lot different. So it's awareness, right? You want to lose weight, you want to be healthier, you want to be more toned. You're going to have to be aware of what you're eating. You're going to have to realize, okay, I'm consuming way too much sugar. I'm eating way too many unhealthy carbs. I'm eating way too much processed food. You have to be aware of it. So a lot of times if you're dieting or you're starting a plan, your trainer will tell you to keep a meal journal because they want you to be aware of what you're putting into your body. So awareness always is what starts first. And that's why the first step in any recovery program is to admit, you know, like come to the terms of like, I am an alcoholic. I am depressed. I am an overspender. You know, like you have to become aware of it and you have to admit it to yourself so that you can begin moving forward. So the topic is, I don't feel like it. And that's what I've been telling myself for the last couple of weeks now is, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like recording a podcast. I don't feel like posting on social media. I don't feel like getting out of my house. I don't feel. And I keep repeating this in my head back and forth. And over the last couple of weeks, God has shown me
that the feeling doesn't just come from nowhere. When you feel like doing something or you feel like don't doing something, the feeling actually isn't the first step. It's just what you're noticing. Really, the first step is the action or the lack thereof that is causing the feeling. So feelings are just emotions. Emotions come and go. They're normal to experience as a human. Every single human in this world experiences emotions, and emotions come and go. That's super important to remember. They come and go. So if you're feeling an emotion of isolation, depression, anxiety, fear, overwhelm, any of these emotions you're feeling, remember that they will pass. So if you're feeling rage and irritation and annoyance, this too shall pass. This isn't going to be forever. It's impossible to live in the same emotional state for your entire life. It's just absolutely impossible. But what I found is that the action comes first and then produces the feeling. So I'm sharing this for my own personal valley that I've been in. And I want to teach you how I am shifting my brain, how I am getting out of this feeling, and how I'm moving forward, because that's really where we need the help, right? You find yourself in this dreadful feeling of overthinking and worrying and fear, and you're just beating yourself down and you're questioning everything, and everything just kind of seems fuzzy and confusing and overwhelming, and you have so much to do and so much on your plate, but you feel like doing none of it. And usually when you're in the valley, things go hand in hand. So like all of your relationships are kind of crumbling, like with your kids, with your husband. You're probably pretty irritated, annoyed. I'm sure you're eating like garbage when you're feeling this way. I know I do, which then makes you feel even worse. You're probably not going to the gym or going on walks, moving your body, stretching, you know, doing whatever, because you don't feel like doing that. So you're not doing it. And that's kind of producing more exhaustion in you. You're more tired. You know, the more we lay around, the more we want to lay around, you know, the more tired we are. So the last couple of weeks, I would say, well, really since my book launched, literally like a month ago today, it launched, and I felt this, attack from the enemy just in my spirit. Anything that involved my voice, like using my voice, like podcasting, mentoring, meeting with anyone for coffee, for breakfast, talking on the phone with people, speaking at my church, literally anything that involved me to open my mouth, I felt this dreadful feeling, almost this bondage, this like, I want to do it. Like I even wanted to call my grandma, and I just had this feeling like I call her Busha, we're Polish. So it was like, call your Busha, call your Busha, call your Busha. I'm like, I can't. Like I was sitting there, I had nothing to do. All my kids were at school. I had a wide open day of deciding whatever I wanted to do, I could do it. And I was sitting outside on my couch and I had my phone in my hand and I'm like, call her. You have nothing to do right now. This would be the perfect opportunity to call her. And I just couldn't. It was this dreadful feeling. I love my Busha. You know, I love her. And I love talking to her. And that's when I really realized that what I was struggling with was isolation. And I knew it was an attack from the devil because I've been doing this for a while. I know he doesn't want me to open my mouth. I know that that's my gift. And therefore that's what he's attacking. If he can keep me isolated and quiet and duct tape over my mouth, laying in my bed, self-pity, wallowing away, watching TV, I am no longer a threat to him. And that's what he wants me to do. He's like, great, Taryn, if you could just stay here, ignore everyone's phone calls and just don't show up and then just watch Netflix, this would be great. And although I'm not, this is not a podcast talking bad about Netflix and TV and relaxing, because you definitely need to be doing that and taking time off if you're someone who's this hustle, go, 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 go. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about isolation. So I wanted to share with you how I'm getting myself out. And this podcast is actually, it was not on my radar today to do this. And I just said enough, like enough, I am taking action. So we hear the stories in the Bible. Like let's talk about Daniel in the lion's den. Okay. So God didn't rescue him before he got to the lion's den. He rescued him while he was in the lion's den. Okay. Let's talk about David and Goliath. God didn't have David defeat Goliath before he got to Goliath. He had him defeat Goliath when he showed up to fight Goliath. And you see all of these stories in scripture, you know, Moses running from the Israelite army and gets to the Red Sea. God didn't part the Red Sea as he was, you know, running up to it and it just parted. He parted the Red Sea when Moses stood there and lifted up his staff and had the faith to say, Lord, part the sea, help us find a way. And then he did it. So God meets us down in the valley. And my favorite scripture I have written on my fridge, and you've probably heard me say this a million times, is consider it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for they produce your faith and, you know, they help all the things. So consider it all joy. If you're in a trial, consider it all joy. God is using everything to help grow you. A lot of the times I find God answering my prayer by putting me through a trial. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. But I know that now I'm in a trial. So for an example, I've been praying this prayer over my children. Lord, expose anything unwholesome that doesn't line up to your word that is happening in my home, expose it in the name of Jesus. This family is washed by the blood of Christ. We will not be living in darkness. Bring anything that's happening in my home to the light. Okay. So that's my prayer. So then when I find out that my child's been lying to me about something, I'm upset and I'm mad and I'm irritated and I'm frustrated. But it was an answer to prayer, because now God exposed all of this, brought it to the light, showed me what was going on. Now that I'm aware of it, now I can tackle it. One thing that I was praying is, God, use me to further your kingdom. Do whatever you want with me. I want to be used in your kingdom. Well, the way that he's using me in the kingdom is by me teaching other women about the darkness that I've walked through. If I wouldn't have walked through the darkness that I've walked through, he couldn't use me. So as I'm saying, Lord, use me, use me, use me, he's like, okay, I'm going to use you. You're going to go through this dark time, but it's because of the dark time that you're going to be able to be used. So we feel like, oh, we're damaged and God can't use us anymore. But really, he wants us to put us through these tests and these trials, because that's what's producing our faith. That's what's making us strong. That's what's teaching us what we need to do. Tension over time equals growth. So if you're in a trial and you have this pain and this tension in your life, over time, you're going to grow. You want to lose weight? You have to apply tension over time. You're going to grow your muscles. You're going to shed the fat. You want to learn how to ice skate? You're going to have some tension over time to learn how to ice skate. Anything we do in life to learn how to do it, it's tension over time. And we tend to back away from the tension and back away from the pain. But if you can go through it, that's when everything changes. So what I've done over the last couple of days, first, I gave myself a lot of grace. And I tried to just turn my brain off. So every time that my mind started wandering, like, why do I feel this way? Oh, I'm so unmotivated. I'm so uninspired. Oh, I just want to like do something. You know, first I reach for coping. I cope with like Netflix. I cope with taking naps. I cope with junk food. You know, anything that you're coping with. My coping used to be way worse, by the way, doing all kinds of stuff to numb the pain and turn my brain off that I talk about in my book, The Valley, in detail. But I, you know, I cope first. And I try to just give myself grace and turn my brain off. Like, it's okay. So for a couple of days, I just kind of laid in bed and watched TV, took naps, you know, it's okay. The world is not going to end because I took a day off and I napped. The world's not going to end because I took 2 days off, because I took 3 days off and napped. But then I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I can't just keep doing this. Like, how long is this going to go for? You know, it's okay to have like a bad day and you just need a minute. But when those days turn into weeks and the weeks string together into months and the months string in together into multiple months and then into years and multiple years, that's when it's a problem. That's when you're living in the valley. So before, my first valley that I ever was in was for like 30 years. I basically lived my whole life in this valley. Once I found out that I could get out, there were things that I could do to take myself out of the valley. I then didn't have to last that long in the valley. I could pop back up after a couple of days. And so I've been in a valley for a couple of days, maybe a week. And today is the first day that I'm rising out of the valley. And it's not because I woke up and just randomly felt inspired and motivated and ready to just hike to the top of the mountain and everything was great. It's because I am forcing myself to take the action steps that I need to take for the feelings to come. So the scripture says to be bold and courageous, you know, be bold and be courageous. Well, God promises to give us everything that we need in the moment. You might not feel bold and courageous until you're standing in front of the Pharaoh demanding him to let your people go. Moses didn't feel bold and courageous based on the scripture and how he talks and what he says. He didn't feel capable. He was actually like, excuse me, God, I don't know if you have the wrong person. Maybe you meant the other Moses from the other city, but I am not your person. I cannot talk well. I'm just too nervous. And he's like, yeah, I know. You're the Moses. Don't worry. I'll send someone to help you. Like, he already knows. And the boldness and the confidence doesn't come when you're sitting at home preparing to do it. It comes when you do it. So the action is what happens first. The feeling comes second. So if we know the actions that we need to take in order to feel better, then the feelings are going to come and they're going to be better. So I woke up this morning, immediately thought, could I cancel my whole day and just lay in bed today? I probably could. I think I might be a little sick, so that's fine. At least I'm sick and that'll be my good excuse. I'm not sick, by the way. I've done this my whole entire life where I literally make myself feel sick, where I'm like, oh, I think my throat hurts. Oh, I do kind of have this cough. Like, I feel kind of achy. Maybe I just need to relax. Because to me, I was always told growing up that if you're sick, you need to relax. My mom was like, you're sick. Nope. You can't do anything. You need to sleep all day. You need to drink water, no sugar. Here's your vitamin C here. You know, she's like so over the top. So my whole life, it was like, if I was sick, that was just like a free pass. Like, you're sick. Oh, you need to be in bed all day long. And so I still tell myself that. And I do, my brain is so powerful that it makes me feel sick to avoid things. And then when I make my mind up, like, nope, actually, I'm not doing this. Like, this used to happen before I would go to church on Wednesday nights. I would be like, man, I really don't feel good. Like, I don't think I should go. I just want to lay in bed tonight, go to bed early, maybe take a shower, like just turn my diffuser on. I need some tea. I would have this all in my mind. I'm like, I need to take some Motrin. I think I have a headache. And then I would talk with my husband and he would convince me to go anyway and pump me up. And then right when I made up my mind, like, okay, you know what? We are going to go to church. I would get to church and never think about being sick again. My throat didn't hurt. I didn't have a headache. I didn't feel achy. I wasn't tired. Like, it really was like my mind just trying to keep me home. And so I didn't wake up feeling like, yeah, I'm out. Let's do it. I woke up like, okay, let's just do this again today. Also, I've been really irritated. So I started with yesterday before I get into today of just like forcing myself to do this podcast and telling you a little bit about what I did. And I'm going to give you something to do that you can do that will take you your first three steps out of the valley. Because there's a lot of you in the valley right now and you're just like, Taryn, I can't, like, I don't know. And I'm alone and I'm upset and I'm worried and I'm stressed and I'm down on myself and everything just seems confusing and dark and tiring and I'm stressed out and burnt out and irritable and annoyed and all of these things, you know, we, it's almost like you can't even get out because the rocks are just like piling on top of you and you're just like buried in the valley, like landslide, all the rocks fell, they're all on top of you. And you're just like laying there. Like, I can't even move. Yesterday I journaled and I grabbed my journal and I wrote down at the top of it, I feel terrible. And then I wrote, why do I feel terrible? And I just started writing how I felt. Why do I feel terrible? I wrote a few different reasons that I could feel terrible. One is my hormone cycle. I am in my cycle right now where I'm like PMSing, I'm irritable, I'm annoyed. Okay. As a woman, you really have to check yourself first when it comes to your cycle, because that alone can screw up the whole thing. You know, here you are sitting overthinking, like, why don't I have motivation? Why am I so tired? Why am I eating like crap? Why do I have a headache? Why am I in a bad mood? Why? And it's because you're a woman. I hate to say it, but you're a woman. Your body is cycling through your hormones. Some of us have more hormone problems than others, more imbalances than others. That alone is like the whole thing. So for me, that was the first thing I wrote. I'm like, hormone cycle. I know that I'm in a hormone cycle right now where I just feel like this anyway. And this usually lasts about 4 or 5 days. And then I'm out of it and I'm like good to go. And all of a sudden it just like lifts and I feel fine. And I'm back to being excited and motivated and inspired and working and meeting with my friends and doing all the things. And it comes and it goes. So I wrote down hormone cycle. The second thing I wrote is isolation. And I said, is this an attack from the devil? And I said, yes, it is. I feel that I am being bound. Like, I feel like I am in bondage, like my hands bound, my feet bound, and I'm shoved in a cell with the door closed and I can't get out. I know what I need to do, but I can't do it. You know, and this is very common. Like, we know what we should do, but we don't do the things that we should do. It talks about it in Romans. Like, I know the right path, but I don't take the right path. And then I'm mad because I don't. Why do I do the things I hate, but I don't do the things that I need to do? And, you know, he's going back and forth with this, like, please God, like, why am I like this? And I really can relate to that. Cause when I first read that, I was like, no way is this in scripture. Like, no way. And it's something about someone else relating to you really makes you realize that you're not crazy and you're not alone. Like, putting words to how you feel, you're like, yes, finally somebody understands it. And that's really my whole like basis in showing up and using my voice, is I just want people to know that they're not alone and they're not crazy, that what you're experiencing and what you're doing is completely normal. Everyone goes through it and it's okay. You know, this too shall pass. So I journaled about this, and then I knew I needed to pray, and I needed to pray out loud against the enemy. And the devil can't read your mind. So if you're trying to tell him off, you need to do it out loud. And I was sitting in my room And I just have to start speaking. Like, I just have to get these words out. And it was so hard to do, to even just start saying them. But it just, I just opened my mouth and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. I am washed by the blood of Christ. The devil and the demons, you guys have no control, no authority over me. I am a child of God. I am created on purpose. I have a reason why I'm here on this earth. I am fulfilling the word of God. I am being used as a tool in his kingdom. I am bold because of Christ. I have the motivation because of Christ. I am forgiven and washed away from all of my sins because of Christ. I am a child of God. I am the daughter of the highest king who ever was and will ever be. I am great because of him, and you will not hold me back. And I started like praying with some passion and some anger, like, devil, get out of my house. Demons, leave in the name of Jesus. You will not hold me back. You will not hold me down. I am set free. I won't give up. I won't shut up. I won't let up until I have completed the mission for Christ. And I just kept praying. And the only way that I knew how to pray like that is because I've been practicing prayer for about a year and a half now. And I've been reading scripture. So I know what it says. I know that it says that I'm the daughter of the highest king. I know that it says I'm chosen, I'm set apart. So I can say these things. I know that I have authority over all of the demons and the devils because of Jesus Christ. He already came, and the devil cannot be somewhere where you demand him to leave in the name of Jesus. He doesn't have the authority. He can't do just anything he wants to us. There are things that we can do. And I learned that by taking classes at church, reading books, reading the book, and connecting with other stronger Christians and mentors, hearing people pray for me, going to events where people are praying specifically and I can hear how they pray. And praying is something that works. So if all you can say is, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone, like, that is enough. You know, that is all you need to say. My valley guide that I have is the first three steps that you need to take to get out of the valley. And it's really cool. It comes in a bundle. You can go to terrencesarcone.com/resources. It's the very first link on my page. Click on it. You type in your email address and you'll immediately get an email sent to you with the downloaded pages. So it's a bundle. It comes with three things. So you get the actual map of the valley guide, where it shows you the three steps. It tells you exactly what to do. It actually goes along with a podcast episode that I just recorded too. So it'll tell you about that. You can listen to that. That episode's like 20 minutes long. So this will help you, your first three steps. And the first step is surrender. The first step is, Lord, help me, is, devil, get away from me. And I tell you and walk you through the prayer and exactly what to do. So this is what I did yesterday. And I just spoke that out. And then I knew that I needed to tell other strong Christians. And I say strong Christians because you can't just tell anybody. I needed to tell my people the truth. I needed to tell people, hey, can you pray for me? I'm isolating. I'm self-sabotaging. I'm, you know, doing this, 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 and this. I had to confess. I had to get it out there, because the more people that I told and talked to, every single time I told someone, I was coming more and more out of isolation. I was opening my mouth and sharing what was going on with me, and the devil no longer had control over me. I wasn't just locked in my bedroom. And so if you don't have Christian friends that are strong in the faith and able to speak life to you, and you've been isolating for so long that you just don't have those people, I want you to pray that God brings those people to you, that you get connected with strong Christian women that are going to help pour into you. You need a community. And in my book, I have a chapter all about community, what to pray, how to find your people, like tangible things that you can do to literally have a group of people that you can talk to within a week. So these things don't really take that much time. It's just, we feel like they do because our feelings you know, are all around us and we're just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And if you're an overthinker, it's just 10 times worse because your brain just doesn't stop. So that was the first thing that I did yesterday. And then today I woke up dreading my day for no reason. I have like literally the life I've always wanted. I get to do what I want when I want. I built my dream job. I have literally nothing to dread. Okay. Nothing. And I had this dreadful feeling and I kind of just told myself like, you know what? It's okay. Don't think about later. Just think about right now. And I just saw this thing actually on TikTok that said the part of your brain that has anxiety is also the same part of your brain where gratitude stems from. So when you're thinking about your list of gratitudes and you're going through like, thank you for healthy children, thank you for children, thank you for my home, thank you for the beautiful sun that's warm today, thank you for the beautiful trees that are changing colors, and thank you for these clothes and the food in my fridge. And when you're listing these gratitudes, the part of your brain that's firing is the exact same part that when you're thinking, what am I going to do? I have this dreadful feeling. I don't want to do this. I'm stressed out. I have fear. It's in the same part of your brain. So in order to stop the negative anxiety, all of those thoughts, if you replace them with gratitudes, it really like turns that part of your brain off. So I just saw this on TikTok and I thought I'm going to do this. So this morning I immediately stopped the thoughts that were into the future of what do I want to do later? Do I want to cancel my day? Do I want to nap all day? You know, all of the, I'm like, nope, it's right now. I'm driving my kids to school. Lord, thank you for this. And I just shifted my brain and I started saying things out loud that I was grateful for. And then when I came home, I knew that I wanted to just lay in my bed. And I was like, no, I am not laying in my bed. I am going to do one thing on my list that I need to do. And so I had them written on my whiteboard on my fridge in my kitchen. And I looked at my list of things to do. I have a personal to-do list that has like, you know, make dentist appointments, grocery shop, plan dinners for the week, pay bills, like all my personal family stuff. And then to the right, I have ministry stuff. So stuff from my work, like, you know, finish my funnel and set up email automation and you know, all of these things. So I'm looking at this and I just was telling myself, like, just whatever you feel like doing, whatever you feel like doing on this list, just do it. And I had on there to make a doctor's appointment for my son. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm calling. Like, why do we procrastinate and dread the dumbest things? Like, literally, I called the doctor, made the appointment. I was off the phone within 3 minutes and I felt so great. Like, why do we procrastinate doing the dumbest things? Like, it will take me literally 3 minutes to do this. Like, why don't we do it? So I start with like the easiest things, the things that my brain is like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do this, you know, because in that mood, I don't feel like writing email automation. You know, I don't feel like creating content. In that mood, I don't feel like coaching someone. I don't feel like recording a podcast. Those are all big things that I do when I'm creative and motivated and inspired and excited. And, but when I'm not feeling that way, I don't want to do any of those things. So my mind was like, okay, call the doctor, make the appointment. I did that. Then I was then, you know, doing a little tiny thing, that feeling after of like, oh, I did it. And then I wipe it off my calendar or wipe it off my to-do list. It's so gratifying for us to realize like, I did it and wipe it off. And you get this little dopamine hit where you feel good and you did something small, but you feel good about it. And now that feeling is going to make me want to do even more. So once we do this little thing that we've been procrastinating forever, then we feel good and it motivates us to do the next thing. Because we took the action, we now have the feeling that we need. So it's the action first. If you can just get yourself to take the action, you will start to feel better. So I did the one doctor's appointment and then I felt motivated to check on my son's schoolwork, go through all his classes and his grades and you know, do all of that, all the fun stuff of having kids in high school. And then that led me to, oh, I need to put money in his lunch account. So I did that. And then I just felt like I'm ready to record a podcast. Like it was so crazy. I also typed up, I don't know if you guys saw on my Instagram, but last night I just felt like I needed to let it all out. And I typed a prayer in the notes section of my phone, surrendering my business, asking for motivation, asking for God to come through and help me. I'm actually going to read it to you in case you didn't see it. It says, Lord, I pray motivation and inspiration over me. Holy Spirit, ignite a fire deep in my soul that overpowers my hormones, reasoning, sickness, or anything else the enemy tries to form against me. I am washed by the blood, given an assignment and will complete it. Lord, give me mass amounts of energy, creativity, and focus. Give me outside of box ideas to use to reach your lost daughters. Holy Spirit, take over this plan for ministry because I cannot do it in my own strength. Lord God, steer the ship, connect me to the right people, draw people to me, place things directly in my path that you have for me. Give me favor everywhere I go. And if there's someone out there who needs the words you've given me through the valley, draw us together like strong magnets. And I just typed this all out super fast. There's actually a spelling error. I didn't even capitalize the word God. And I just typed it out super fast in my notes. And something just told me to post it. So I took a screenshot of it and I posted it on Instagram last night at about 10 o'clock last night. And, you know, I did that. I woke up, didn't feel different, didn't feel motivated, didn't feel inspired, didn't feel any of those things, although I prayed yesterday. But once I started taking the little tiny action steps, I then started feeling better. The fact that I'm even recording this podcast right now is just insane to me because I so didn't want to do this. I was dreading. I'm like, I don't even know what to say. I've had so many of you messaging me asking, when are we going to start podcasting again? When are you publishing your next episode? And I know that you guys love the community. You love hearing that you're not alone. And I love helping and pouring into you. And by me speaking on podcasts or coaching women that I coach one-on-one or, you know, anything that I'm doing, I'm really ministering to myself. I'm saying these things and it's teaching me. I'm saying them out loud and now I'm hearing them and it's affecting me. So I get motivated. I get fulfilled when I open my mouth and speak. So when I'm not opening my mouth and speaking and sitting in my room, I'm not feeling motivated and inspired. So when I did the little action steps, God then showed up and was like, you know, now I feel him that it's like, okay, I'm going to do this little thing. And now here I am recording a podcast and it's like, okay, good. This is all working out, like moving forward. And I want you to know that I created the Valley Guide out of a place of pain because I was there. So this isn't just me like coming up with like random three things like, oh, do these three things to feel better. These are things that I do every single time. And I know that we need a Valley Guide map to print out and hang up in our house because me, the Valley Guide, forgets how to get out. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, usually I'm in the valley for a couple of days before I'm even aware that that's where I am. And then when I realize, like, I'm in the valley, that is what's going on. I'm in the valley. Now what? What do I do? And I need to look at the list like, okay, what do I do? Lord, help me. And so these three steps will help you drastically. And I wanted to share vulnerably that I am in a valley because I want you to know it's okay to be in a valley, but you need to be aware that that's where you are and then take the steps to get out because this valley doesn't need to last 30 years. This valley is not going to last a week. This valley is not even going to last any more days than today because I'm done. I'm walking out and I can see the top of the mountain. I can see that I'm getting out. I can see that I'm walking up there. The Valley Guide bundle comes with the three steps, the map that shows you how. It also has a printout of prayers that you need to say when you are in the valley, which is just you know, so powerful. And then it also comes with another sheet of all of the scriptures and things that you need, your identity and inheritance and who you are, so that you can recite it and you can speak that over your life. The sword of the spirit, speaking God's truth, speaking his words. So you can get the Valley Guide by going to terrencesarcone.com/resources. It's the very first one. Don't let the devil hold you without authority. Like, he has no authority to hold you. And if you could pray for me, I would appreciate that so much. Pray that the enemy stays away from me, and pray that I am just filled with my identity and truth in God, and don't let anything come over me. But I just want to say thank you for listening to this. Thank you for being in my community. There's almost 19,000 people who listen to these podcasts, which is just so crazy to me. And so I just wanted to say thank you. I love you. I'm so glad that I have people that can listen, that I'm not alone. Don't let the devil isolate you. I hope that you found this message powerful, because you are powerful. Thank you for being here until the end with me today. I am so thrilled to announce that my brand new book, The Valley, is finally out and available on Amazon. This book is split into two parts. The first part will walk you through all the steps it took to get to rock bottom to avoid making the same mistakes. Part two walks you all the way out of the valley into freedom, into fulfillment, into abundance, and into joy. So get it now. Love you.